Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 211. And as always, we thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
We definitely do. And you know what? I got to say, I am surprised by the amount of listeners that we had on a podcast just 2 days ago concerning magnetic declination. It seems like it's an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a bigger number than we're used to, which is really, really cool. I think it probably struck a nerve with somebody. They shared it, which, by the way, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you, and it just reiterates the power of you guys sharing. So if you don't mind, we love it. We appreciate it.
Normally we get I'd say 1,000 downloads a day, and we doubled that in just that podcast. So obviously your questions have meaning to other people, so keep asking them. And also we just got a bunch of questions in, and just to follow up on a few things, we're going to have a podcast on the cell tower inspection because that's a big winter gig that you can do. But also from yesterday, there are a few things that you could be doing in the winter to be making money on top of what we already said. Destination weddings are actually a big one. I just got hired for one.
You did. Where are we going, Paul?
We are going to the Bahamas next November.
I cannot wait for that.
12 months from now.
I'm the best spotter you've seen.
Yes, you are, actually. The funny thing is, though, for a lot of people who are still waiting for their 333, mm-hmm. or they are flying without a 333, which it is what it is. Either way, if you do these destination weddings and they're out of the country, guess what? It doesn't matter what the FAA says. So.
Yeah, I mean, you do need to be aware of what's going on over there, but generally speaking, it's much simpler process.
Yes, yes. Well,
like when you went to Canada.
Canada, boom, boom, and Mexico. Yeah. Oh, man. Canada was a cakewalk. Yeah. So I actually, because of the recent questions that we've been getting from the FAA recently, I'm like, well, maybe we should just blast out that Canada video because there's nothing they can say about that.
Or not.
So,
I mean, it's already out there.
It's a nice video. We actually didn't post it. Centurion Boats posted it.
Oh, I see. And it's a great video, and it's good stuff.
I think we should post it. Anyway, so this winter, what are things you can be doing? There are a lot of things that you should be doing, a lot of things you could be doing in filming. We talked about snowboarding and what the ski hills and mountains are doing. We didn't talk about ice skating. That actually seems to be a kind of a big thing.
Like Rockefeller Center. Well, you probably
can't. You cannot do Rockefeller Center. No, no, no.
I'm kidding.
Class B airspace, can't do it. You could do ice skating, though, in Los Alamos. So, which is a very cool area.
But even then, don't be over the people, right?
You've got to be
filming from the side.
Yep. And that's still a gray area with the FAA. You know, they say don't fly careless and reckless. In my eyes, that means never fly over people, period.
Yeah.
So, and I follow that rule to a T always. Another thing that you could be doing is cruises. That destination wedding that I'm doing is a cruise. So it's going to the Bahamas via Florida.
Wait, did you just say I'm doing?
All right, the spotter. Okay, I get it. Don't beat me up.
There's a whole lot of weird going on here, Paul.
The wintertime is also great for a thermal gig. So if you're into thermography, FLIR finally released the View Pro, which is a 640p camera. It's a lot like the IR Distro camera that we saw, except there's onboard recording now.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
now, what can you fly that on?
Check this out. They added a GoPro mount to their FLIR View camera, so you could fly it on a Phantom 2. You could fly it on a Phantom 1.
No way.
Yeah. And Phantom 1s are now selling at the commissary for $250, and Phantom 2s are double that price.
So, guys, there are no excuses.
Yeah. You can
make it happen.
Make some money. Seriously. Okay, next one. I just got a gig for a lodging. It's like a hunting lodging kind of place.
This is a big one. We have a friend up in Colorado that's been...
Oh, yeah. So again, I took this one in Canada just because when the Canadian offers fly in, I'm going to take every single one I can.
We're going to.
You'll
get this eventually, guys.
Another good one is farming and livestock. So a lot of farmers are having issues with livestock monitoring, especially as they get older in age. So livestock monitoring, again, thermography, you got to use a radiometric thermal camera to be able to do those things. But it is a good moneymaker as well. I would just say, people flock to warm places. So attack warm places. You know, you think about things like DroneCast and what they're doing with, mobile drone advertising. I think it's a very cool thing. I don't know how practical it is, but it's, it's an option. The next thing is cell tower inspection. We're going to have Neil on the podcast coming up to talk about cell tower inspection and how to do those. And also, guess who's coming in the office tomorrow?
Who?
Ed Hindy. Ed Hindy owns a firm here in New Mexico and builds wind turbines. So I'm going to see if I can get him on the mic. I haven't asked him yet, but I normally just kind of ask people on the fly and they're cool with it. So not worried about that.
Another one to be a star for a minute.
Yes. Another one is forest densification. This is another job that I was asked to do. I actually declined because I'm not, I don't think I have the right equipment to do this because you really need a fixed wing to cover vast area of mapping you need to do.
And so, that's just to see if we have forest fire issues, concerns that need to be thinned out.
It's actually to count volumetrically the amount of material that's in a particular place for development and also for forestry management. So there's dual purposes to that.
Very cool.
I was asked by a developer, though, just to clarify.
I see.
The last but not least, volumetric measuring. You know, we've talked a lot about this. Coal fields, the mining fields, even construction. I'm missing the term here. Rob, help me out. A quarry.
When they want
to know how much of what product they have, you have the most accurate way of volumetrically measuring
that. That's an amazing service. And I can only imagine how much cost cutting that does relative to how they're figuring that out now.
True. And I mean, you also think about how easy it is for you to do this job. It's like, hey, show up. Here's a flight. 10 minutes. Drone deploy. Hour later. Here's your map. Let's measure it. Okay, there, you're done. I mean, come
on.
Here's
an invoice.
Yeah, here's an invoice for $2,500. Sweet, thanks.
Yeah. and you know what? We don't really want to joke about that because the purpose is always to bring value to clients.
Which you are.
And you are bringing value. So it's not just about gouging people and all about making money. It's truly a way to help people improve their businesses.
And I hope people don't take my statement as gouging people and making money. I laugh because you can literally turn your passion into profit.
Yeah.
And it's very easy. So anyway, so we're going to get into today's question. It's a very good question, talking about finding places to map. And we're going to take it today as if you were going on a mission, Rob.
Okay.
You're going out to the desert and you found a hidden treasure that you need to map, to volumetrically measure, to see how much dirt you would need to remove to get to the treasure.
Which is sort of what Bruce is talking about here.
Well, I will say, Bruce made a comment on our Instagram about the logo for the Spaceport Drone Summit. I said it.
Oh my word.
It's coming out tomorrow, so everyone can find out about it. Anyway, he said, is Paul running for president with that logo? No, but I've thought about it after this recent drone law.
We love Paul, but don't ever suggest something like that again.
I would be such a terrible president. I really would. I would be like, we should save the babies, but how much money will that cost?
Word. Okay,
I'm kidding.
All right.
Hate politics, for the record. I cannot stand politics. My
and this
family
is somebody that grew up in Virginia, so
DC. My family's overrun with them. And I'm not a fan. All right, on to the question.
Here we go.
Hello, this is Bruce from Utah. My question is, the other day I was out hiking in some pretty rough terrain and I found an old downed military aircraft. It's an A-10 Warthog. It crashed in September of 2001. Apparently the Air Force didn't feel the need to clean up the site and left it there. It's pretty neat to look at, but I didn't have my cameras or anything. I had my phone. But I marked down the coordinates and I dropped a pin in the area. I was hoping to be able to come back later and fly my Phantom 3 Pro over the site and take some pretty neat pictures. It's spread out over quite a large area in some cliffs and some pretty nasty location that's not that easy to get to. Is there a way to put either the coordinates or that pin into the DJI Go app so that when I get out there, I can see that and I can get my Phantom to that location quickly so that I can have enough time to take pictures and video or whatnot. So I'm not using my battery trying to find it.
So that's a good question, Paul. That'd be really cool if that is possible, is it?
You know, I've recently did a mission here in Anonymous World.
It's a nice place.
There's a lot of people listening that don't need to hear where this took place. Anyway, I was given GPS coordinates to go film something.
Mm-hmm.
And I took those coordinates. And, you know, before I looked and researched into this question, when I did this myself, I realized it would probably be so difficult to go into the app or go into Drone Deploy or go into Pix4D or any of those mapping softwares and actually pinpoint the location in which I wanted to map. Now, normally they auto-reference your location, so once you go to the location, it does pull your coordinates.
Just like a GPS unit that you carry with you on a hike or something.
You don't get that much information at a Drone Deploy. They just pull the coordinates to reference the map placement on Google Maps.
Okay.
So the way that I did it is I actually marked the pin on Google Maps on my iPhone, and I do not use Apple Maps. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think it's awful. I use Google Maps. I dropped the pin with Google Maps, went to as close to that location as I could, and then I referenced the heading and the distance from my location so that I could fly to that relative location and get the information that I wanted to.
Interesting. So that presumes you have service to be able to do that.
Or you preload the map.
Okay.
Yeah, very easy to preload the map, actually. Very, very easy. If you're not familiar with that, I don't have the step-by-step instructions with me, but you can Google how to preload and save maps and locations.
Cool.
So,
okay.
Because, you know, when Highway 89 gave way, Highway 89 is the highway from Flagstaff to Lake Powell, and literally the highway gave way. I mean, big surprise. You're on a cliff next to a mountainside in sandstone, you know, literally big
it's
surprise.
Inevitable.
Yeah, it's sandstone. So for a while, Google finally put the Indian highways and roads that go through the Navajo Nation to get to Lake Powell. It's like a really back way to go. And if you really want to experience the Wild West, I highly recommend you check out Indian Highway 55 or 59.
Couple of options.
Most you right now, because they reopen 89, you can't even find the road on Google Maps. You have to start driving it yourself and know which way to go in order for it to pull up the map.
Huh.
Isn't that wild?
That's adventurous. You're an adventurer.
Well, I like to have fun. I like to go where no man has gone before. No, I'm kidding. There have been a lot of people there. But it does you know, bring up the point of you've got to bring up the coordinates in your phone, go to that location. I mean, Bruce obviously hiked to this location, so he knows where to get or he knows where to go.
Right.
The cool thing, though, is that once you get within, you know, a few hundred yards in Drone Deploy, you can set your map to the location in which you want to map and go over that area.
Okay. So then help me understand as a layman the distinction between being able to do that and being able to do what specifically Bruce is asking.
So Bruce, I think, is asking, how can I pull up the GPS coordinates in the DJI Go app?
Okay.
Or how can I put the coordinates in the map? I don't think it's possible. I looked up a lot of places. Now, I could be wrong. So if anyone out there has done it, you know, let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
But like I said, when I had a similar mission, I realized it would be so difficult to try to do that I just, you know, dropped the pin like he did on my phone in Google Maps, went as close to that location as possible. You know, you can figure out the heading and direction very easily. It's not difficult whatsoever.
Right.
Just pull the compass app up on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then fly in that direction and set your map point in Drone Deploy, and you should be able to do it. Shouldn't be hard at all.
Very cool. So go ahead.
The other thing is with the new Phantom 3 and the DJI Go app and waypoints, you have to fly the waypoints in order to actually do the waypoints through the Go app.
Mm.
That being said, you can, utilizing, say, your phone and your iPad, overlay those maps. So Google Maps on one phone, DJI Go app on the other. And then once your locations match, you can start flying your waypoints and then it'll go back and map that whole area for you.
So that presumes, again, that you go and you've been there before.
Well, he had been there
before. Which he had been there. Mm-hmm. He just didn't have his drone with him.
Correct.
Right. Cool. Okay. Hope Very interesting. I wonder if that's something that they're going to have in the future, that you could actually put coordinates in the app itself and fly the drone to that spot.
I think Amazon Delivery is probably working real hard on that right now.
Yeah.
Because imagine if I was like, Rob, I forgot to bring in my microphone into the podcast studio. Dude, can you please bring it to me? And you're like, gosh, I'm already at the office. Ugh.
What are your coordinates?
Drone Q7. Prepare for takeoff.
All voice activated and everything. I love it.
I mean, that would be cool, right?
That'd be beyond cool.
So anyway, guys, I hope that answers your question. Special thanks to Go Professional Cases, which could provide you with a backpack to go on that hike and to get those shots and to get that map without having to carry a heavy case around, which I got to say, we've got a few cases in here. It's time for a backpack, Rob.
I'm surprised we don't have one. We're going to have to do that.
My fat butt needs to walk and hike more and to use one.
No comment.
Anyway, guys, also a special thanks to our sponsor, Multicopter Warehouse, where you can join the aerial revolution. And a big special thanks to our sponsor, Drone U.
Wait, that's us.
That is us. Do we teach people how to fly really well?
We certainly do.
You know, every time I go out and record a new course, people come up and they're like, I've flown. I didn't know that. What? This is so valuable. Where can I find this? Well, you can find the Don't Crash course on thedroneu.com. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask and Drone You.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.